Welcome to this episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling. I'm your host, Sean, and I'm with the award-winning co-host of the year, Ashley. Ashley, how you doing?
Sean, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well. I think we are definitely closing in on the end of 2023, and with ROH Final Battle, this AEW Continental Tournament, I feel like we got a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, a lot of great matches from the tournament this week and leading up to some big matches for this coming week.
Very true. So let's go back. Let's talk about ROH Final Battle 2023. It's in the books. And I got to say, it was a long card with a lot of good matches. Actually, my question is, do we need a 5-hour ROH pay-per-view in 2023?
I got to be honest, I don't think so. That was tough to make it through, to be honest. I came home from work. I didn't have much time to get ready for the pay-per-view. And by midnight, I was ready to knock out. Good show, but a lot of matches that were thrown on there, like, during the show.
Yes, it was just like, if you watch 0 Hour, I feel like they announced at least 3 matches that you didn't know about going into the main pay-per-view until, like, 30 minutes into 0 Hour.
Exactly, and that's adding at least an hour to an hour and a half.
So are there any matches from this ROH pay-per-view that you want people to go and watch that you say are must-see?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be talking about it a little later. But that main event, holy cow. Fantastic to see women not only main eventing for the second ROH pay-per-view in a row, but for the first time ever headlining their biggest pay-per-view of the year. And what a way to kind of cap off, at least for now, this feud between Athena and Billy Starks. Athena has been outstanding, and even with this broken nose, this match is amazing.
Yes. Billy Starks has a very good performance here in the main event of ROH Final Battle, but Athena still is your reign-defending, undisputed ROH Women's World Champion, and still is the catalyst for the show, the person who's holding the show on her back going into 2024.
I think it's well-deserved, too, because she's just been outstanding this year, and she has certainly been the backbone of what they've been doing over in ROH. I can't wait until she can kind of come back to AEW, and I would love to see her have a reign as the AEW women's, like, maybe in later 20.
True. Can't wait to see what Athena does in 2024. About survival of the fittest for the ROH TV Championship, because I feel like last week we were looking at this and previewing it, and Stoddy might have said Kyle Fisher was a dart horse. And who is your new ROH?
I know, winning his first singles title here. I'm pretty excited for him in the Don Callis family. I think this Don Callis family is a pretty good faction for these young, talented heels.
Yes, and also another standout in this match is, Brian Keith. This is the first time I saw Brian Keith wrestle. He wrestled on 0 Hour to get into the match and had one hell of a showing during the Survival of the Fittest.
Absolutely. Him and Jack Cartwheel, who we've seen a few times, had a really fun opening match there at the 0 Hour. And then he had a hell of a showing in there, taking out Lee Moriarty after Lee Moriarty had a big showing.
And boy, Lee Moriarty did the ultimate bad thing to do. He eliminated Dalton Castle, and the crowd just turned on him like a dime. And he was getting booed out of the building.
I was turning on Johnny TV.
You know, Johnny TV, there's a guy you have thought, hey, we're adding matches to his ROH card. And wait a minute. Johnny TV's right there. Why did he have a match?
I kind of feel like they're building up this, like, feud with him and Dalton Castle. It's been, you know, they've been kind of going back and forth for the past, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm kind of excited for that. I love Dalton Castle, and to see him get on a prominent program where they can get some back and forth stuff, I'd love to see it.
It would be an entertaining feud, I do believe. Now, let's talk about this ROH Pure Championship match. It's Wheeler Yuta versus Filthy Tom Lawler. And actually, going into this, I thought, maybe they'll be getting the title off of Wheeler Yuta, but somehow, someway, this guy is just a snake in the grass, and he's this hard to kill.
Yeah, he certainly found, like, a mean streak being this, like, heel little shit here. But I like this newfound aggression. I think his promos have kind of kicked up, and he's looked really good, and I think he's kind of well deserved to be the Pure Champion right now.
Another match that you should go back and watch from ROH Final Battle is Keith Lee versus Shane Taylor. This is basically a match to squash a beef. And boy, these are two big hosses doing a lot of different moves and mad respect. And I got a feeling that we are finally getting back to Keith Lee versus Switland in 2020.
Yeah, yeah. Keith Lee definitely hinted at going back after Swerve. And we all kind of have been waiting for this singles match to kind of happen. It seemed like it was going to happen months ago, sort of fell apart. And at least it's like a consolation prize months later, but at least we're getting it. Maybe with Keith Lee not being around as much, maybe there was some truth to the rumors of him not doing so well. I hope not. I hope he's okay. And, you know, everything's good. He seems good now because that was a hell of a match last night. But I can't wait to see him and Swerve go at it again.
Okay. I know this match is coming out later on in the show, but let's just talk about quickly here. It's the Fight Without Honor. It's the Blackpool Combat Club being John Moxley, Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli versus FTR and Mark Briscoe. This match lived up to everything I could imagine it would be before this match started. And there was a moment in this match where I felt like if they didn't restart this match, the referee would not make it out of the building.
I don't think Mark Briscoe would have let him out the building.
Mark Briscoe was like, oh, hell no.
He was upset. I mean, yeah, you're right. And truly a match that lived up to what they were trying to do there to honor Jay Briscoe with just six of the best wrestlers, in my opinion, in the world right now.
And we already talked about Athena defeating Billy Starks in a great match. Okay, so the only problem I had about this match was how Billy Starks kind of forgave Athena and gave her a hug. I know she was like, hey, I got the approval of Athena, but still, you didn't get selected by Athena before this match started. So can we just have a little bit more time before we came back to be buddy-buddy?
I can see the argument for that. I don't know where it's going to head now, though. You're right. So I'll keep an eye on Ring of Honor and see where this is heading now.
It was a fine pay-per-view. I would suggest you, if you're going to watch this, watch it in like increments. Find the matches you want to watch. Watch them first. Then go back and set aside like an hour to watch the first hour, like 0 hour. Take your break. Come back a couple days later. Pick it up. I feel like that'd be the easiest way to watch this pay-per-view. And if we never get another 5-hour pay-per-view from ROH, I would be perfectly happy.
Yeah, like you said, good pay-per-view, just a little long. And maybe we don't need to just add so many matches there and tack them on at the last minute.
Very true. This has been your ROH Final Battle 2023 review here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. We're heading over to the Control Center to catch you up in the week of wrestling news.
This is your Radio Free Pro Wrestling Control Center. All the wrestling news you need to know.
And one of the biggest stories coming out of Japan right now is the announcement by New Japan Pro Wrestling that they're joining forces with five other Japanese promotions to form this United Japan Professional Wrestling Group. And it seems like, as you're reading the article, it's kind of like a corporation of all the Japanese promotions when they deal with the government. Because if you remember during the pandemic era of wrestling, Japan basically shut down. They didn't have any wrestling whatsoever. If you remember, there was a time in England they had no fans in the crowd and they were able to have matches and record matches and bank them up, just like the WWE and AEW did here in the States. That wasn't the case in Japan. And I feel like now they're coming together to help each other in case something like that happens again. And to celebrate this, like this newfound friendship, they're going to have a big time event May 6th, where it's going to be New Japan, All Japan, NOAH, Stardom, DDT, and it's going to be something that me and Ashley are probably going to watch and review.
Oh, absolutely. This is very cool. And the possibilities here that this opens up are pretty much endless.
It's like the nine biggest Japanese professional wrestling groups join forces, and they even announced in a statement they're looking to add groups. So I feel like this is kind of like a new era for Japanese professional wrestling, maybe in 2024, with New Japan leading the way here.
Yeah, very cool. Very exciting. And as long as, like you said, like it's going to help all the promotions, and that's awesome that they're open to inviting more in. So hopefully promotions that are interested will reach out, and you know, the more partnerships, the more possibilities.
Okay, let's go on to our next story. And if you watched SmackDown 2 weeks ago, Charlotte Flair had a match. If I remember right, it was against Asuka. They went for a suplex, and Charlotte kind of slipped on the ropes, and they quickly went to a finish. We have found out that Charlotte Flair is going to miss 6 to 9 months, and it was reported by the Figure Four today that she tore her meniscus and her MCL. So I hate to say, but Charlotte Flair is going to miss WrestleMania season, and we just want to wish the best to the queen.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like she hasn't even been back that long, and to lose her again for this amount of time is kind of a blow for the women's division. You know, it'll give hope that the recovery and the surgery and everything goes well.
Yeah, I felt like they were getting ready to have her and Becky Lynch go into a story where they were going to be a tag team for a bit going against Io Sky and her group. And now it's just interesting to see how Bayley was going to outs with Damage Control. But if you watched last Friday night on SmackDown, they kind of drifted back to being all friends again. So I feel like they're putting that on the back shelf until Charlotte Flair gets back. But unfortunately, it's going to already be later in 2024.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for her return, and hopefully she can come back and return to her place as the queen of SmackDown.
Well, we'll move on to our next story. This came out Friday morning, and we're talking about Liv Morgan getting arrested in Florida. And it apparently happened Thursday night. She was driving just west of Orlando and was driving erratically on a road. The police pulled her over. The police officer came up to the car, smelled marijuana, and they found 20 grams of marijuana in the Jeep and a vape pen with some kind of oil substance. So Liv Morgan was charged with a third degree count of possession of a synthetic marijuana and 20 grams of marijuana. So she's being arraigned February for the charges. She was let go on a $3,000 bond. And there has been no statements from Liv Morgan at the moment. And I doubt we will see anything of a statement from Liv Morgan until closer to February. Is this a sad story?
Yeah, it makes sense. There's no statement right now either. Yeah, it's tough. I don't agree with anyone being arrested for marijuana. I'm just going to say that. But I guess the issue is the driving. If you're driving erratically, obviously you're putting yourself at risk, you're putting others at risk, and that's more of the concern, in my opinion. An unfortunate mistake, and I hope it just doesn't take too much of an effect. Like, I hope there's not too much of a, you know, there's no repercussions or anything for.
Exactly. We'll keep you guys updated on this as it goes through the legal system here in the United States. Let's move on to our next story, as Bambino has gave us an update on Twitter that he had a second successful surgery on his wrist. He hasn't wrestled since like July for AEW, and now we know why he's been out for so long. He thanked Tony Khan for taking care of him and his family. We just want to wish Bambino a speedy recovery, because man, LFI is on fire. Rush is on fire. I just want to see him come back and team up with Commander and Rush.
Yeah, this is fantastic news. I am so happy for Bandido. He was kind of showing out before he got injured. So as soon as he's ready to come back, I know everyone's going to be excited to see him.
Well, there's somebody else that's been backstage at AEW lately. One, Kyle O'Reilly. It's been about 18 months since we've seen Kyle O'Reilly in the ring. Now, he's still dealing with complications to his neck surgery. There's no date for him to come back yet. But I'm going to take it as positive signs that he's backstage at AEW. And I get my fingers crossed that we do see Kyle O'Reilly in 2024 wrestle. I'd love to see him go out on his own terms.
Yes, absolutely. But it's an awful injury. And I hope we can, like you said, just get to see him come back and end it how he wants to end it.
Final news story. If you watch Collision Saturday night, you notice that during Andrade's match, somebody was missing. It was CJ Perry. And we found out now that she was hospitalized with an infection that was started in her finger and moved her way up her arm. We just want to wish CJ Perry a speedy recovery, because I'm enjoying this kind of manager role she's doing with Andrade, and the fact we're heading to Andrade versus Miro here in 2024. So all the best to CJ Perry.
Yeah, that picture was a bit scary. Her finger was a bit swollen. They said, take all the time you need, heal up, And like you said, this angle has been very good. So I hope she heals up and we can get back to it when she's feeling healthy.
True. She missed a date in CMLL and started episode of Collision. So hopefully everything is under control and we'll see her back sooner than later. That has been your Control Center here on Ray Free Professional Wrestling for December the 18th, 2023. And Ashley, it's that time. We're going to the Stunning Six Questions as we debate six of the hottest topics in professional wrestling.
Time to ring the bell as Sean and Ashley debate six stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys and what the hell was that?
And Ashley, my first stunning question. If you watched AEW Collision on Saturday night, we got a surprise return in Thunder Rosa. One, how surprised were you? Two, who do you want to see her feud first with?
I was actually surprised they had her debut now. I kind of thought maybe next week, but I love the run-in and the save, and especially with the kind of like unorthodox pairing with Abaddon. If they branch off, I'd love to see her feud with Sky Blue. Sky Blue has been on a roll in 2023.
Well, if you haven't watched the last episode of Collision, Sky Blue comes down after Julia Hart appears and basically challenges Abaddon to a match. And Abaddon, instead of grabbing the belt, just basically lays into Julia Hart. And here comes Sky Blue. You think for a second that it's going to be Sky Blue versus and Abaddon taking turns being the you know what out of Julia Hart. And then Sky Blue does the turn, elbow in the back, and they're beating Abaddon down. And here comes Thunder Rosa out from the crowd. The crowd goes wild. And they're having this match coming up on Wednesday night's episode of Dynamite. We get to see Abaddon and Thunder Rosa versus Sky Black now, if you listen to Nigel, and Julia Hart.
Yeah, and Julia Hart shared a photo of her nail. Her nail broke off. Oh, that looked brutal. I'm excited. We actually saw a little bit of growth for the women's division on Collision this week, and we saw two women's matches. Imagine that. So looks like we have some plans set in place and some kind of things branching off and a few things ending. So I'd like to see where like Willow's heading next. And I'm excited for Thunder Rosa's return and this match next week.
You know, all year long, we've been talking about how AEW has been dropping the ball with their women's division. I think they're finally listening. I think they're finally going, hey, we need to focus on this. And maybe just maybe they're going to make it a focus in 2024.
I hope. It looked like a little bit of progress. So let's keep it going. You know, like next week looks like to be a big women's match. And I hope they give it a lot of time.
True. Now, going over to my second stunning question of the week. They were in Texas all week for AEW, Dynamite, Collision, Rampage. And they had the Von Erichs. And my problem with the Von Erichs appearance on Dynamite was they were kept to a backstage segment. And it was maybe 3 minutes. And I'm going like, you have the Von Erichs. You're in Dallas, Texas. Have them come down in the ring. I know they had a match on Rampage. And I know they were recording Rampage after Dynamite. I just felt like they could have done more with the Von Erichs, especially with the movie coming out next week.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'd just have the match that night, you know, on Dynamite instead of having it, like you said, recorded for Rampage. But I did like the showing on Ring of Honor as well.
Oh, yeah, the Von Erich boys are good. Ashley, the Von Erich boys had a great showing on ROH. I'm hoping they do more of AEW in 2024. We've seen these guys wrestle in Impact. We've seen them wrestle in MLW for a bit. They're a nice tag team. I would love to see them added to this division for AEW.
Yeah, it's very, very cool to see this on TV like this in 2023. And it's very cool to see this. And I'm excited to go see this movie, honestly.
Okay, so we're moving on to my third 70 question this week. And we already kind of addressed this in our ROH Final Battle review. But Ashley, my question to you, should ROH underneath the control of AEW be having shorter pay-per-view and maybe heading back to more traditional ROH markets like Baltimore, New York, Chicago, because I know they had all the shows in Dallas this week and the crowd for this final battle was good, but I kind of miss those Baltimore crowds and those New York crowds for the old ROH shows.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them come back this, you know, towards this coast for some shows. Like you said, I agree. I think the pay-per-views could be shorter. A lot of kind of like tacked on last minute matches, and a lot of matches that it doesn't make sense. You know, the ticket sales, I'm sure, aren't what they were like hoping for. But if you had announced somebody like Eddie Kingston on the card, you probably would have moved a little more. It doesn't make sense on a lot of fronts. Just issues that you can fix, but they got to be addressed, you know? So work on that. Like you said, try running these old ROH markets. See how, you know, the markets are now. I'm sure there's still people there that want to go. Test them out, give them a shot. And like you said, just trim them down. We don't need to add on so many last minute matches like that.
Exactly. I feel like there was at least 16 matches on this ROH 0 hour and pay-per-view combined. And I was going like, no moss, Tony, no moss. Okay. So setting question number 4 for the week, we're going back to AEW Collision. And as a hell of a tag team match, you have Marcelo Martinez, Diamante versus Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander. And it's a hardcore match. It's AEW's year end women's tag team hardcore tradition match. And this one was pretty damn good. I feel like it was better than the one with Anna Jay and Ty Mello in it.
I think it was a great showing. I love Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale coming out dressed like Pulp Fiction characters. Mercedes Martinez has had some really good showings. And I am so happy that Willow Nightingale is finally getting some time back on television.
True. It was a great match. My only problem with this match and why I made this a question, do we really need glass and thumbtacks in this match to make it quote unquote hardcore?
I don't mind thumbtacks. Thumbtacks don't bother me. The glass stuff, I will say, I'm a little bothered by. Thumbtacks, not so much, but glass scares me.
I just felt bad for all the ladies having to do the spots into the thumbtacks. Like Diamante, she tried to do a flip power bomb and she landed right into the tacks. And I'm going like, geez, why do you have to do this?
I mean, yeah, they might not agree. I mean, they're at least comfortable enough to do it though. But it was an amazing match and all the ladies put out a hell of an effort. And I love these kind of like annual tag team hardcore women's matches that we get at the end of the year.
Well, I want to chop this up to this me being of an older generation and me just yelling at clouds, probably. So, study question number 5. Ashley, you remember last week when I was asking you where AJ Styles was? Correct. I found him. He was on Friday night's episode of SmackDown, and the crowd was so excited to see him, and he saved Randy Orton and LA Knight from the Bloodline, and then he stabbed LA Knight in the back. What do you think of AJ's heel turn?
I'm just happy he's back, first of all. That's somebody you need to be featuring on TV. He's too damn good to be sitting on the sidelines. I just don't know if WWE needs another big heel. They have quite a few big prominent heels. I think maybe it's a little heavy-handed on the heel side, and maybe we should have brought him back as a babyface at first.
Okay, so after I watched this, and I got thinking about it, it makes kind of sense now, because we're heading into WrestleMania season. And everybody's getting dance partners. LA Knight doesn't have a dance partner. Now he does.
That's true.
And it's a heel AJ Styles. And I literally went on the internet and tried to search for Eli Drake versus AJ Styles for TNA. And I haven't found it yet. If anybody is better at searching than I am and finds this, tweet me at RPW Sean and let me see that, please. And thank you. But I'm all here for LA Knight versus AJ Styles, a feud heading into WrestleMania season. Yes, please check.
Yeah, that would be a great program. And I mean, Jay is always great as a heel, so I'm not against it. I just felt like they were a little heavy-handed. But if they're going to pair him like up with LA Knight like that, that could be a great program for both of them.
True. And there's this part of me that wanted to just enjoy AJ as a babyface for just a moment. But then I realized, okay, you got Randy back. He's going to face Roman at the Royal Rumble. Roman's probably going to beat him, unfortunately. We're going to head to WrestleMania with Roman still the champion, either to face CM Punk or Cody, to be determined. So eventually you have another heel for a babyface to fight, and that's AJ Styles.
I think it works then. Maybe it's the right call then. So you can't go wrong with this program, I think. So be a good one to play out for over the next few months.
I agree with you. I feel like this is going to be one of our top matches of 2024 when we get back around to this time next year. Ashley, sixth and final standing question. We have been here week after week just saying how much we enjoyed the AEW Continental Tournament. So we're heading into the home stretch. Who is your MVP?
I'm not even sure how you pick one. Danielson's had a great showing. Garcia, even with all the defeats, has been continuing to grow this character that I am excited to see when it finally kind of like the other shoe drops and we get like some victories for him. But I mean, even Andrade El Idolo over the past few weeks has had some showings that could push him to the top of the MVP list.
Okay, so my MVP for this tournament is Swerve Strickland. If you were watching last week on Dynamite, he had a hell of a match with Jon Moxley. Absolutely. And I was so believing that this was going to be the one tie in this tournament. Then Jon Moxley won this match. And I was going like, was that the right decision, Ashley? Should Jon Moxley have this win over Strickland? Then I got thinking, you know what? They can still meet in the final for that side of the bracket. So I wasn't as mad as I was.
No, I'm okay with it for right now. We do have the possibility of the rematch. And like I said, I'm happy Swerve is in this, but I want Swerve's goal to be the AEW World Championship. So if they want to do this for now, I don't know about it. I would hold off because I want him to be the AEW World Champion. This character and the way he's gotten over the past year or so has been just crazy. And I'm excited for this character.
True. I feel like he is like Heath Ledger's Joker. This in wrestling form, he's basically channeling everything that was good about that character.
Yeah, he had a really great post-match promo after the match, too, that was, I think, only up on the social media, on their Twitter, X, whatever it is, and very calm and very, like, kind of, like, accepting of the defeat. So it's very strange to see that, you know, we know how demented Swerve can be, so it was very kind of strange to see him so calm and collected over this big loss.
True. I can't wait to see how this tournament wraps up. Now, let's just go ahead and talk about the standings at the moment and the gold lead. Jon Moxley has already qualified for the semifinal. He's at 12 points. Now, Swerve certainly is next. He has 3 victories, 1 defeat, 9 points. Our boy, Jay White, 3 victories, 1 defeat, 9 points. Jay White needs to win out. Jay White cannot afford another loss in this tournament. Then we have Roosh at 6 points. He's on the cusp of being eliminated. And unfortunately, I feel like coming out of Dynamite this week, he's probably going to be eliminated. Then the most surprising thing about this tournament so far is Mark Briscoe, 0-4, 0 points, and eliminated.
Yeah, that's what I think my least favorite call of this entire tournament, to be honest.
True. I can accept Jay Lethal being 0-4 and no points in this tournament before I can do Mark Briscoe, okay?
Yeah, I'm hoping he might get this win coming this week, but definitely not the call I would have made.
Okay, so let's go over to the Blue League. Andrade is leading this group, tied with Brian Danielson at 9 points. Then Brody King has 6 points. Brody King's 2-2, hasn't been eliminated yet, but really needs a lot of help. So does Eddie Kingston. Mr. I gave my titles for this tournament is 2-2 with 6 points, looking up at Danielson and Andrade heading into this final week of matches. And Claudio Castagnoli, also 2-2 with 6 points. Then there's Daniel Garcia. You know, you could use this tournament to build Daniel Garcia even more than they did. Now, these matches have been great, and they have been a world wonder for one Garcia, but he's 0-4 and probably eliminated.
Yeah, I think he might be already out by the sounds of it. But post this tournament, I am very excited for Daniel Garcia.
I'm going to say this right now. I feel like Garcia may make an appearance next week on the 2023 edition of the Winstons, as me, you, and David hand out our awards for the best and worst in professional wrestling from this year. And I've got a feeling that somebody's going to be dancing onto this list somewhere.
Jeez, this list has been tough. I'm kind of glad we took that little bit of extra time, to be honest, because it was a lot to like. I was like, oh my, I don't know how to pick one. I don't know how to pick one.
Trust me, you do not want to miss Christmas morning after you open your presents. You're going to have a gift from us. It's going to be the 2023 Winstons. And maybe just maybe me and David might throw some chairs or something, because we're going to disagree about something I know for sure, because I may make him a little bit mad and he might yell at me. But that has been your 76 questions this week on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. Ashley, it's that time. Are you ready for the top five matches of the week?
Yes.
It's Sean and Ashley's top five matches of the week. As they count down their five favorite matches from the past week, did your favorite match make the cut?
So I get two honorable mentions this week. Yes, I have seven matches in my top five. So allow me to do my honorable mentions. At number seven, it's Moxley versus Swerve Strickland. And the only reason it's at number seven is because I didn't like the ending. I wanted Strickland to have a victory over Mox, but hey, I might get it next week. So come back and tune in, okay? Now, number six, Claudio Castagnoli versus Andrade from this past episode of Collision. Go back, watch that match. You get to see Claudio come off with a superplex, and you're thinking he's going to go hit another one. No. Andrade flips it around into the Three Amigos. And I was like, that's a great spot. So at number five, and officially on my list, I'm going to the Texas Street Fight tag team match with Diamante, Mercedes Martinez versus Will Nightingale and Chris Statlander. Even though I didn't care for the tax in the glass, still one hell of a match.
Yes, I loved this match. I loved the showing for the women, and I loved the time it got. I thought it had a good amount of time, and I thought it was a nice kind of like a nice end point for this feud that's been going on between Statlander and Mercedes Martinez and Mercedes Martinez and Willow Nightingale. I'd like to see them break off now and kind of go into some other feuds and get some other women involved.
This match wanted me to have Tony dig up another set of titles, and we have the AEW Women Tag Team titles. And you could give it to either team. I don't care. This match needed titles to give to these ladies because it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like this guy, this conversation comes up every time we get this annual hardcore women's year-end tag team match.
Okay, so what is your number five match of the week?
All right, my number five. I'm going to go with from Rampage, the main event. Top Flight, Action Andretti taking on Penta, Vikingo, and Commander. Rampage over the past few months has had some crazy lucha matches, and this match was just as insane as it sounds with the competitors involved.
Yes, Rampage is your official home of everything lucha for AEW, and oh, by the way, I got a feeling that it's either Dynamite or Collision coming up. Top Flight and Ashton Andretti are going after the trio titles against the Acclaim and Billy Gunn, so it could be Dynamite or Collision. Just make sure you check out the match because that's going to be fun too.
Yeah, I can't even believe Dante's back already from that injury, and he looks just as great as he did pre-injury.
Is this crazy? Because that was a scary injury he suffered this time. And I've really thought like maybe he wouldn't be able to come back from that. And I'm perfectly happy to be wrong about that.
Exactly. And he's been just as outstanding, like I said, as he was pre-injury. So I'm excited to see them get this title shot.
Okay, so my number four match of the week. We talked about it at the beginning of the show during the ROH Final Battle review segment. It's the Survival of the Fittest. And yeah, Kyle Fletcher won. That was my pick. Not the reason why I thought I put this at number four. It was a great match that showcased everybody in this match, from Dalton Castle to Kyle Fletcher. I just loved it. And I thought like it gave Lee Johnson a spot. And it gave me a chance to care about Lee Johnson and Lee Moriarty. So heck of a match.
Very, very good. Like you said, everybody kind of had their chance to shine. We got to see the newcomer, Brian Keith, show out. Lee Moriarty had some big eliminations, and ending with Kyle Fletcher capturing his first singles title.
Very true. And the fact that I cared that Lee Johnson submitted the eliminations, I'm going like, no, not Lee Johnson. Keep him in there for a minute. I want to see some more Lee Johnson. So what is your number
four? Number four? All right. My number four, I went to the opener of Dynamite. I'm excited to see Hangman back in the ring on a weekly television and him taking on Roddy Strong, a guy who he's worked with and been with before. But also because I liked everything surrounding this match. I liked Samoa Joe coming out, kind of accusing Hangman coming immediately out. We get a little bit of that story. Then Roderick Strong is accusing MJF of being the devil. We still have no idea who it is. And then even at the end of the show, we cap out the show with Hangman being attacked by the Masked Devil Man. Obviously, that means Hangman isn't the Masked Devil.
True. And I love the fact that they're kind of bringing Hangman Adam Page kind of closer to a tweener slash heel kind of Page. He has the edge. He comes out after Samoa Joe, basically accuses him to be the devil. He's taking no shit from Samoa Joe. And he's like, turn around and just clobbers Roderick Strong there. And I'm going like, this is the Hangman we need. This is the Hangman we saw like a year and a half ago that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm very excited to kind of see him brought back in more of a prominent role. And I think the match him and Swerve had a few weeks ago is something that maybe Tony Khan realized we need to start featuring them more, because we got Swerve in that tournament and he's been killing it. Now we're featuring Hangman, and it seems like we're going to, and it kind of still interweave these stories, because I know if we move Hangman more towards his heel role, he promised a few weeks ago in his promo that he knows what Swerve Strickland wants. And even though Swerve beat him, Hangman's not going to let him ever get what he wants. And that's to be the AEW world champion. So I feel like we're not through with that yet.
No, I got a feeling that Mr. Page is going to make a visit in one of these matches come up, either if it's the semifinal or the actual pay-per-view match at Worlds End, if Strickland gets that far in the tournament. And I feel like we're going to have Swerve versus Page to open up 2024 to finally give this feud the proper ending that it should have, because we're still in the feud.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number three match of the week, I'm going to SmackDown, and it's going to be Carmelo Hayes versus Grayson Waller. It's their tournament to find the number one contender for Logan Paul, the United States title. I saw Grayson Waller pull out a top rope play of the day, and Corey Graves was looking at this going, I don't know what to call this. This is freaking awesome. I don't know what the name of this move is. And I just stood there and like, how did Waller do this?
Yeah, no, this was very good. This is where Carmelo needs to be.
Exactly. I mean, like, let's go ahead. Let's wrap up this Trick Williams Carmelo Hayes feud on NXT for 2024, January, February. We need Carmelo Hayes up on the main roster before Mania season. This guy is ready to go. He's money waiting to happen.
Exactly.
So what is your number three match of the week?
My number three, you spoke about it a little bit. Claudio and Andrade. Andrade's had a showing over the past few weeks that's been just outstanding. And this match with Claudio was just insane. You had like a reversal from the sharpshooter into the figure four. That was pretty insane. And kind of ending with a little bit of heel maneuvering there from Claudio.
Well, if the referee doesn't see it, it's probably fine for him to pick Andrade up and basically drops him on his knee. And like, oh, can we talk about how many freaking European uppercuts that Claudio hit and Andrade just ate him like a champ? I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I need an Advil or something.
Oh, that one when Andrade did the dive to the outside and Claudio hit him with one. I was like, oh, that was brutal.
Yes, you need to go see this Andrade and Claudio match. It easily could have been the main event. And if the main event of Collision wasn't what it was, it would have been the main event of Collision.
Exactly.
Okay, so my number two match, we already talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. It's FTR and Mark Briscoe versus the Blackpool Combat Club. And they pulled out all the stops. We saw a super shatter machine. We saw everything. And there was even an attempt for a doomsday device by the Blackpool Combat Club. And I'm going, oh, that would be a dirty way for them to beat Mark Briscoe. But nope, Mark Briscoe actually gets the win here. And he hits the J-Driller. So, hey, number two match of the week.
Very good choice. He finally hits the J-Driller too. And I was so excited for that.
Yes, if you haven't seen this match, everything that is ROH Final Battle 2023, this is a match to start with because it's going to put you in the mood to watch anything else from pay-per-view. So, Ashley, what is your number two match of the week?
All right, my number two, I think you also spoke about this one a little bit as well. I enjoyed it, despite the ending, Swerve Strickland and Mox. These are two of AEW's biggest and hottest guys, and this match was very good, and then there was some post-match promos that even added on to it. So I'm going to be excited if we get this again, and maybe we do get the Swerve victory this time around.
We could. And while I was watching this match, I had in the back of my mind, somewhere up in Stamford, Connecticut, when Triple H was looking at this match going like, I used to have both these guys under contract. Can I get them back, please?
Especially Swerve. Swerve has just exploded in the past few months, and it's exciting to see. So I'm very curious to see where all of this is heading, because we have kind of a lot of overlapping going on right now.
True. Now, Swerve certainly did an interview with Chris Van Vliet that is on Chris Van Vliet's YouTube channel, and he gives a lot of credit to Shawn Michaels for sitting down and helping him through his time in NXT and the WWE. It's well worth the watch.
Yeah, very interesting. Chris Van Vliet is a great, great interviewer, so I love to listen to his stuff.
And that match is freaking amazing. If you haven't watched that match from Dynamite this past week, add it to your list and check it twice. Okay, so I'm up to my number one match of the week, and I'm going to AEW Collision. And yes, I may have a Collision bias here. It might be recency bias, or it's the fact that it was the American Dragon versus Brody King. And oh my freaking word, it was this hard-hitting as all get out. And if you thought last week's match with Brian Danielson was crazy, and Andrade was the one going after the eye, Brody King was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, Brian Danielson is seemingly determined to try to not have a match at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I feel like somebody needs to wrap this guy up in bubble wrap and just hold off on any more matches, but I know we're getting some more coming up before Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, he's got a couple more, and you know he's going to... I mean, that match alone at Final Battle, and then to take on Brody King the next night. Brian, please just chill for like a week. We just need you to calm down.
And I know we named MVPs for the tournament, but Brody King could easily be a MVP of this tournament.
Absolutely. He's definitely kind of showing what he could do in a singles capacity. And I think Tony Khan should take notice.
True. I feel like there's a possible TNT title run there, or an international title run there in 2024 for one Brody King. Now, Ashley, what is your number one match of the week?
All right. My number one, we talked about it a little bit, so we don't have to go into too much. But I was just very excited for this. A lot of kind of big moments around it, too. But Athena and Billy Starks, the women headlining for the second time Ring of Honor, and for the first time their biggest pay-per-view of the year. And having just Athena, who's had an outstanding year, deservedly headlining this show with this storyline they've been going for months with Billy Starks. Barring the ending, like the post-match stuff and what happened after, I'll see where it goes and how it plays out. But the match itself, if you didn't get to see it, that's something worth it. If you don't have Ring of Honor, it's worth the $10 for the month to watch this and the content for a month.
You know, after watching that match, I felt sorry for the ladies just for the simple fact that it was the end of a 5-hour pay-per-view. And I just wish it was the end of a 4-hour pay-per-view, because I feel like that crowd... I'll give credit to that crowd. They got back into this match, and these ladies went balls to the wall to get the crowd back into it. They had a great match. It just shows you why we don't need a 5-hour pay-per-view.
No, you're exactly right. When it's very drawn out like that, it's tough, especially on a night like a Friday night. This wasn't like a weekend night where people were coming in mostly from possibly not working that day. You're talking about a Friday. That's a work day where a lot of people are coming to the show after work, and to expect them to stay till midnight is sometimes not even doable for people.
True. But I will tip my hat to Billy Starks. This was one hell of a showing for the young lady, and her future is really, really bright. And I don't know if you're going to tag her up with Athena going into 2024 in ROH or AEW, but I feel like there's another match in this feud, and I don't know if we're going to get it sooner or later, but I can see Billy Starks in 2024 as your ROH world champion.
Definitely. Definitely some sort of gold in her future. I can't believe she's only 18.
You know, that's scary. That's the thing about, here she is. She's 18 years old. That's a couple years into her wrestling career so far. And she's that freaking good.
She is very good the whole way through too. The whole program, the whole storyline from beginning to end. Well, till now.
Well, that has been our top 5 matches of the week. Go back and watch them and tell us if we were right or wrong. on Twitter or Instagram at Radio Free PW. Now, Ashley, we got one final segment. We're going to preview this week's Continental Tournament matches and tell you where you should watch this match or not watch this match. And Ashley, we're going to the Go League, as this is going to be on Dynamite. It's John Moxley versus Jay White. And yes, we're going to watch this.
Yes, this could be a possible match of the week next week.
It's going to be interesting to see how they book this match, because Moxley is already qualified and Jay White needs both victories here.
I could see Jay White pulling some shenanigans, though. He's pulled a little bit in a couple of matches already, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Jay White pick up the win, but I don't know. It'll be interesting.
See, I have a feeling if I was Moxley, I'd be like, I'm going to take you out of the ring. I'm going to get both of us counted out and we're done. I don't need any more points. I'm going to get myself booked. Have a good night.
You know Moxley's not going to do that, though.
No. Moxley ain't going to go down my road. If he's not me, I mean, like, he's going to fight. In Moxley's world, 15 points is a must. Defeat is not an option. So I got a feeling maybe Jay White eats a pin here and we have Moxley with the maximum points going into the final.
I'm kind of hoping Jay White can pull up the upset then.
I mean, me too, but I'm 50-50 on this one.
Like you said, Mox is already qualified. He doesn't need.
Okay, so Swerve Strickland versus Rush. Yes, we're going to watch this, and this is probably going to be one of our top five matches.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this.
Okay, so this is the compilation match of the tournament. It's Jay Lethal versus Mark Briscoe. Is this the draw and they both get 1 point?
I kind of hope not. When you put Jay Lethal in the tournament, I figured he would eat some pins, but I kind of figured everybody would at least get one win somewhere. I didn't figure we would have like this many people with no victories in this.
I know. And I got a feeling that maybe Mark Briscoe goes 0-5 or 0-6 here. And we're just like, dang, Tony, what are you doing with Mark Briscoe?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm not a fan of Mark Briscoe not having a single victory in the tournament.
Okay, so that is our preview of what we want to watch coming up this week in professional wrestling. Ashley, before we go, where can we find you on the Super Information Superhighway, where we get your live tweets during anything AEW?
I am on Twitter. It's at @groovy_ash_.
And you can always follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Radio Free PW. In case you miss a show, go over to www.radiofreepw.com to catch up on any and all episodes. And oh, by the way, we are back on YouTube. Type in Radio Free Professional Wrestling on your YouTube browser and you'll be able to get the latest episode up there. And just a thank you to all 22 of you who viewed this past week's episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling on YouTube. Welcome aboard. And 2024 is going to be so much more.
Yes, I can't wait to get this award show going for the end of the year. And we got some cool things coming.
Well, you know, it's always our groovy and stunning era. And as we're going into 2024, guns freaking up.
Guns up.
Christina here. On behalf of the guys, thanks for listening. Like the show? Do us a favor and share it with a friend. Have a stunning question? Email it to the show at radiofreeprowrestling@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Radio Free Pro Wrestling. Stay stunningly.